Hello and welcome in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Belief Podcast Network. I am Davey Hudson alongside former Titan Denard Walker, and we appreciate you joining us today as we unfortunately get set to recap that monstrosity of a game. The Titans fall to the Texans, the now 2-8 Texans, but it is a... Still at a loss for words, Denard, but we're going to break everything down that happened today and what that might mean moving forward for the Titans, because there is a lot of storylines now. Anyway, here we go. I don't know. but hey, you're probably not staying with me now, but I got to ask, do you believe? And Believe in Titans is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. A lot of crazy football games yesterday for college. Today, the NFL's been haywire, and college basketball getting into the swing of things. And we're also at that point, Denard, where coaches are getting fired. And so that means you get some odds on who might be the next coach at a certain destination. But that's just always something I find interesting to follow. But anyway, head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your bonus. That's BLEAV50, BELIEVE50. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Nard, I'm going to bring you in, sir. I hope you're having a good day, but I need you to talk. I've had a lot of feedback so far from fans. It's obviously not been good.
Sure you have.
But I need you to talk. Talk the Titans Nation off the ledge right now.
Well, I thought we did that about 3 weeks ago when Derek went out with, you know, that foot injury, and all of a sudden Twitter Nation had erupted. And, you know, of course, reading some of those tweets was the Titans season is over. And I one of the things that I talked about was not panicking. Don't panic at this stage right now of the season. And there's a lot of football still left, and I still believe in this team. Today, I know it's kind of like the game against the Jets. You know, you expect to go in and win, and unfortunately, that's not the way it works in the National Football League. There's a theme. It's called expect the unexpected, and that's the way when you play 17 games in a season. Sometimes, they always say, it just things don't fall. The ball doesn't really favor you. It don't really fall your way sometimes. So again, this is not a time to panic. You have to say congratulations to Houston. They played I wouldn't say a great game, but when you have, let's say, what was it, 82 players coming into this game that has suited up for this team, and you have so many guys out with injuries, Davey, we know that was bound to happen, and it happened today. So again, congratulations to Houston. It was a hard fought game. Congratulations to David Coley for getting his second victory as a head coach. And again, you have to regroup and get ready for New England.
That you do. I am not going to go as far as to say the Texans had a good game. The Titans lost this one. It's solely on their shoulders for why this game came down the way it did. I know that if you haven't, the Titans fell 22-13. I hadn't said the final score yet, but this was a game where you look at the stats and you're just like, how did the Titans end up losing this one the way they did? It's one in which if you look at the total yards, the Texans, man, Tyrod Taylor threw for 107 yards and their leading rusher only had 40 yards. And Tyrod Taylor did have Rex Burkhead was their leading rusher, 18 carries for 40 yards, averaged 2.2 a carry. But Tyrod did have 6 carries for 28 yards and 2 touchdowns. But the story, Denard, was the turnovers. Ryan Tannehill, this team can only go as far as he can take them, and he did not take them far today. He had 4 interceptions. I know 2 of those came late as he was trying to make something happen. But the Titans just continually shot themselves in the foot in 5 total turnovers. The other one, Chester Rogers, muffed punt. It was 12-0. Titans defense had just got it in a big stop. And Rogers is not out of the way. The punt hits him on the foot, and the Texans recover the ball at the 5, score a couple plays later. It was just mistake after mistake, and it ultimately cost the Titans when you boil it down. I mean, this is a game to where Ryan Tannehill had to throw 52 passes. And anytime you're in a game and Ryan Tannehill has to throw 52 passes, that's not a good thing. It's not how the, as you would say, the DNA of this team is set up. I just am really frustrated with how things unfolded throughout the entire game, and it's not like I'm going to sit here and say anyone really had a good game, because in the way in which you look at this, they struggled to get things rolling. And the Texans, I guess, if you want to give them credit, whenever one of the things they did do was when the Titans would get close, we would just find a way to turn it over. The biggest play in my mind, Denard, was whenever it was at the very final seconds of the first quarter. Titans are already down 3-0, and Ryan throws his first interception, at which the Texans end up taking that one all the way back into their own red zone. But had the Titans, it was bad, because if you go back, and I know hindsight's 20/20, but with 5 seconds left, they snapped the ball. We should have just let the clock run out, because a lot of things happened on this. One, Marcus Johnson pulls his hamstring, so he's probably sidelined for a while. You're already hurting at the receiver position. So then Titans are like, all right, fine. Well, obviously that's not good, but they're going to get back, going to try to go at it, 3rd and 6, see what can happen. And next thing we know, Ryan throws an interception.
Yeah.
And they return it 82 yards.
Let's just talk for a second, because we talked about coming into this game, one of the things that this Houston team, they were coming off a bye. So this is a team that's well rested. We're talking about Tennessee. This is a team that's beat up. So when you get into this part of the season, you had a team, they're fresh. They haven't played a game in almost 2 weeks. Now, their coach, David Culley, who's the pride of Sparta, Tennessee, he talked about eliminating turnovers and penalties. How many turnovers a day did Houston have? Zero. And he said it, and he said it best coming in to this game, that if we can eliminate the turnovers, then he thinks that would equate into about 3 more victories for this team. So he was very optimistic about this. And that's what they practiced on this week in Houston, was to stop the turnovers. And that's exactly what they were able to do today. Listen, if you have a team, and stats to me are misleading, because we've seen Ryan throw for these same type of numbers and the Titans win big. But when you throw 4 interceptions, and we talk about the bad play in the third quarter by Chester, then yes, that's exactly what happens in this league. You will get beat. I don't care how good a team is or how bad. When the opposing team has 0 and the one team has 5 turnovers, I'm betting my money on the team with the 0 turnovers or the less turnovers of a game, because that means my probability of winning goes up by 60 or 70%. And that's what happened today, D. They just beat themselves, and you can't do that. And one of the things I want to talk about to our listeners, and this needs to be addressed, is the running game. They came out today and we saw a heavy dose of Adrian. I mean, Davey, they was running the ball just moving it. And I love the way that Adrian he came out today, and he looked like the old AD. Now, what I don't understand is in the second half, there was no more Adrian. We saw Deontay Foreman, and that was a big question mark to me, because Adrian on 3 carries had 38 yards rushing, and coming into this game, he had what 2 games with a total of 40 yards. So I don't know what's the situation there, but what's gone is the 937 yards by the King. Derek's gone, and those 10 touchdowns. David, I don't know if you can replace that kind of production, but let's also look at the injuries. Al today was your starting cornerback, Jack Rabbit. We saw Jeremy McNichols. He was absent. He's hurt. Greg Maven, David Long Jr., who's the pulse of this defense, he's hurt. And Rashawn's been hurt all year. So there were some key players not playing today. Yeah, and this was a culmination, Debo, of some really key players missing. And it was also a culmination, I think, of a team that's really tired and they're beat up right now. So we really need to think about getting healthy after this next game against New England, because, Davey, this can be a theme that can carry out for the rest of this season.
Very much so. And, I mean, you bring up New England. I was hoping that the Titans on this final 2-game stretch before the bye, they could at least split the games. And right now I'm really concerned that they won't be able to even do that. I know we need to get to the bye. We have so many injuries that I ultimately believe that that's probably what's going to be the final storyline of this season, and probably limit this team from actually achieving anything once the postseason gets here, unless some people really start to get healed up. I don't know what the status is on AJ Brown, but first went out with a finger injury, was able to come back from that, and then he got the chest injury. So Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Des Fitzpatrick are basically 2 leading receivers at that point. And if that's the case, and you know we're struggling to run, well, we were running the ball, but they had to go away from it just because of time constraints left in the game at that point. It's just, it was a struggle. I thought the decisions at times to maybe kick a field goal could have been helpful. Ryan did not help you right before the half, taking that intentional grounding call to where you didn't even get a field goal attempt. That could have possibly changed how things were played. But just, I mean, we could sit here and dissect it here and discuss that all night. But at the end of the day, the Titans just continually shot themselves in the foot. And like we've said, if you mentioned Nard, you have 5 turnovers, they have 0. They're likely going to be the team that comes out with the win. And it's frustrating because this was a game you should have won. And now we have 2 really bad losses on the season. Whenever you look at the Jets, you look at this game against the Texans. And I just hope, we know the injury concerns have been so bad, you really needed to just find a way to hold on to that one seed in the AFC. And right now you go play the Patriots this coming Sunday in Foxborough. If the Patriots win that game, they will now be the one seed in the AFC. So the Titans, that's at least if you would have won today, you could have held a 1-game lead even if you lose next week. But they're rolling. We're banked up. I have no idea. I mean, Titans, Denard, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't even think they'll be able to practice this week outside of some walkthroughs.
They haven't been practicing probably in the last 4 weeks. You know, they've probably been having what we call glorified walkthroughs, and that's just really knowing your assignment. Davey, this team – and that number is, 82 players. It's going to be more this week. I mean, you're talking about with AJ and Marcus out with a hamstring injury. Tierre Tart went down in the fourth quarter, and he just came back from a groin injury. So we're talking about a team that's not only been decimated by injuries, D, but this is also a team that they haven't had a bye. We're going into, week 12 of the season. They're tired. You can look at this team right now, and you can tell they need a break. They really need to try to get through this week. I don't believe in making excuses, but I've been there. I've been in those players' shoes. And let me say this, D. Now, we can look at past history. You go back last year, as you alluded to last week, about San Francisco in 2020 had 84 players, and they finished 6-10. We go back to 2019 with the Dolphins. They had 84 players. They finished 5-11. So when you look at the odds are stacked against you. Now, what this team, they're 8-3. Now, they're still on top of their division. So they're not in the same shoes as the San Francisco and Miami, those teams last year and a year prior. Now, what you have to do right now, D, is the theme of this season is finding strength in numbers. That's going to be the theme going forward, because defensively, I thought they played well. They played good enough for this team to win. Offensively, they are struggling. We talk about the Achilles heel being the running game. There's no more D. And we talked about last week in our podcast that what this team needs to do is they have to find a running game. If you don't have a running game in this league, you will not make it, not only going down the stretch, but you will not make it in playoffs. The way that you win playoff games in this league is running the football. You saw the day with the weather. Look at what the weather, the challenges that the quarterbacks were facing. You really couldn't hold on to the ball. It was slipping all over the place. We talk about the rain. We talk about the weather conditions being an issue. And this is the time of year when it's you get bad weather. You know what happens? Teams that are really great, they know how to run the football. And that's what was missing today. There was no running game. I mean, look, I love Dontrell Hilliard, stepped up, played great today. Number 40 was all over the field, had 40 yards rushing and 30 yards receiving, but I don't think that Dontrell Hilliard is going to be the X factor in getting this team where they eventually want to be, and that's playing in Los Angeles come January. So, D, the issue is not with the defense. The issue is not with special teams. The issue is with this running game. It is atrocious, and if they don't fix this, this could be what hurts this team or derail this team's chances of going further in the playoffs this year, because they're going to make it to the playoffs. I'm not counting this team out.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll make it to the playoffs. Now, I won't say it's been atrocious. It's obviously not been nowhere near what it was when you have 2-2 back there. But, I mean, today you look at it, they ran for 4 yards a carry. I mean, you do that. If you could tell me every game we're going to run for 4 yards a carry, I'd take that. I know the Texans, I mean, you look at them, they ran for 2.2. So it's like, yeah, the defense stepped up and held them there. I know a couple of times you had some backbreaking plays by Tyrod, but if they could just protect the ball, I think, I mean, they're fine in this game, but it started off slow, and that's been one of the problems for the team.
Yeah, but you gotta, it's about establishing your dominance. This is a team that their style of play is about running the football. This is why you have, at least in the past last year, you had a back that eclipsed the 2,000 yard mark. That's running the ball. That's pounding. This is what you need at this time of year. You need a strong dose of the running game. You can't put it on Ryan's shoulders each week to be the guy that's going to carry this unit. He needs help. There's no Julio. You have no Julio Jones. So I like the fact that players like Nick Westbrook stepped up and played great. I love the 46-yarder in the fourth quarter. There's no quit in this team. But until they get a running game generated at some point, D, then this is going to be a theme for the rest of the season. And I'm just – that's the really what's scaring me about right now going down the stretch is the running game. Defensively, I mean, Houston only had 190 total yards today. So if you're defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, you have to be proud of your unit. And listen, the bright spot, we talked about Chris Conley. Those guys were not a factor on the edges because Elijah Moulton and Chris Jackson played great. I thought the secondary played well. I love how they challenged the receivers. I love the play of number 24. He was the bright spot today defensively. You're talking about three key third downs. He eliminated them from sustaining drives, two pass breakups, and a big hit on Chris Conley on big that tackle. Third and eight. Woo, that was a great tackle. But good the stick. Young rookie, he's been stepping up. And Debo, I want to say this. And we haven't given this young man a lot of praise this year, but Dez Fitzpatrick, the fourth rounder, I tell you what, Debo, he played great. Number 10, again, I love the fact that he scored. They're starting to implement him more in the game plan. And that's what you're going to have is strength in numbers going out. And D, we talked about a lack of production about four or five podcasts ago about the young guys not stepping up. And now you're starting to see those young guys get those chances. So I was proud to see that today.
They do. Yeah, Dez, I mean, the reason we're starting to see him more is just because other guys in front of him can't actually be on the field. And he did. He had three catches, 35 yards. It was a really nice touchdown that he had there to kind of finally get the Titans on the board. But I guess to go back real quick, Denard, I'm with you as far as like they do have to establish a run game. And it's different talking about doing it against the Texans defense versus doing it against one of these better opponents. Like, I mean, next week, the Patriots have a really good run defense. So, yeah, it's going to be critical to do that. And I don't know if they can. The good news for the Titans, though, is that usually when everyone counts them out, it's whenever they find a way to pull out a win. And if they could find a way to one, I mean, the importance that is going to be placed on this game this coming Sunday is, I mean, huge. Because you can knock down the Patriots a peg while continuing to hold on to that number one spot. Ravens barely held out for a win today against the Bears. The Bills, Colts are coming in hot. They looked really good. The Bills didn't stand a chance in that one. Jonathan Taylor, you want to talk about going off. He might have just made a chance for him to get into that MVP race today with having over 200 yards of offense and five total touchdowns. So something to keep an eye on. Hopefully, like fortunately, though, I mean, had the Titans lost that game in Indy, the odds of the Titans winning the division would be drastically shifted at the moment. But fortunately, with the sweep, still got a couple-game lead, and they still have some difficult opponents ahead. The Titans, though, Patriots had a game on Thursday, so they're going to have a little bit more time to get rested, and it wasn't like they were really having to struggle in that one. Falcons weren't really able to do anything. They shut out Atlanta, and the Titans play like they did on offense today. The Patriots are going to shut them out next week, so a lot is going to have to happen. Todd Downing and Ryan are going to have to get in the room, and this coaching staff have to figure out something to get something going, because it could be tough sledding if some changes aren't made. And if you don't get A.J. Brown back, I'm extremely concerned about what could happen come next Sunday. But fortunately, you still, even if you lose there, you're 8-4. You're still going to be up in the AFC South, and you got an opportunity to get a bye and hopefully get some guys back. But, I mean, the Titans are going to have to force some turnovers and extremely limit, because I mean, this might have been Ryan's worst game as a Titan. Actually,
it's his first game throwing four picks. So I mean, again, you know, this team right now, I mean, Davey, I don't care who you are and what team. You can be the Lakers in the 80s, but if you have Magic, Kareem, James Worthy, And heck, you can put Kobe on that team when the Lakers were dominating in the early 80s. If all of your players are hurt and you have to go to your bench, the odds of you winning go, I mean, it cuts those in half. So what happens now is they're going to have to get Julio and those players back, because you just lost Marcus Johnson, who's been one of your most consistent receivers over the last few weeks. So now who do you replace in Marcus' absence? Because we saw him grab that hamstring, and that's really the injury that kept him on IR the first four games of the season, which probably why he wasn't activated. So again, now you lose AJ. So it's kind of like, who do you plug in there? And you might not, in 9 times out of 10, you won't get the same production from, let's say, Nick Westbrook or Des Fitzpatrick as you would get from AJ Brown or Marcus Johnson. Right now, the theme is just, you know, especially offensively, this is a team right now, they're struggling because they're all injured. So right now, it's just they have to find a way to get through until they can get healthy and get those players back. Until then, Davey, we might not see, this is going to be a struggle going down the stretch because everybody's hurt. I mean, the team has been decimated, and that's the hardest thing. Yes, let me say this, D, is the Titans are 20 times better than the Texans on paper if you have your playmakers. But if you don't have your playmakers on the field, that's almost like the Titans going out and getting me and you and plugging us at the receiver spot. That's not going to look pretty. I mean, well, I might look cute, but I mean,
you would handle it a lot better than I would.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I mean, I'm with you. It's frustrating because, I mean, you look at the team and even though they're in a great spot, you have a game that you should win. And as long as you don't create the catastrophic mistakes that you made today, you're going to win that game. And so, I mean, it's got to be a moment to where Ryan realizes how much he cost his team. And I know he doesn't exactly have those playmakers, but having those playmakers isn't why he threw 4 interceptions.
Well, you know what? I take that back. Sometimes when you develop continuity, when you develop chemistry with two receivers like an AJ or a Julio, we saw the game against Seattle. He had his playmakers. If you don't have your playmakers on the field, Davey, it's hard to just bring in a guy and then expect him sometimes to be, you know, at that spot at that time. Chemistry, when you have continuity, that develops chemistry. And you're starting to see him develop that chemistry with Nick Westbrook Ikhine, because Nick has been in there most of the season. He's been playing, he's been productive, but you can't just plug in players and expect for Ryan to get the same production for players that we've never even, from Des Fitzpatrick. He's just trying to figure out where Des is going to be. I'm telling you, they're going to go through a struggle for a while because there's no way that you can develop chemistry if everybody continues to get hurt. So again, everything falls on Ryan's shoulder. Listen, Ryan didn't have anything to do with the punt that Chester,
No, that's on
Chester.
Him.
And that's uncanny of, right. That's uncanny of Chester. But again, you can't, and unfortunately the quarterback takes all of the criticism just like they take all of the praise. But in this case, it's going to be hard for one guy to beat 11 guys on the opposing team. He just can't do it alone.
I get that, Denard. And I mean, you know me, I'm actually one of the guys that sits here and defends Ryan Tannehill majority of the time. I know a lot of people, like you listen to the national media, or people who just want to continue to tie him to his time at Miami. But I usually think, you know, even when things aren't going against him, it wasn't like he had a lot of pressure the entire day comparative to, I mean, what we've normally seen with him. I thought the O-line did a better job than what we've seen in the past, but he was a step off. And I'm with you that the chemistry not being there with some of these guys that aren't normally taking the first team reps isn't there, but I thought maybe they should have tried to do a little bit more stuff over the middle. And part of that could fall on Todd Downing. I don't know. Well, I'll have to go back and rewatch, but just the first thought of, all right, how did this game go? There were some moments, and you know, I know if you can take a couple plays here or there, I really just wish he didn't have the terrible intentional grounding, because that was 100% intentional grounding there at the end of the first half. You're going to get that back, and you have to see that linebacker dropping in coverage there at the end of the first quarter. I think if you can take those two mistakes out, it's a completely different ball game. And those aren't on anybody else but Ryan in that situation.
Well, yes and no, because again, the linebacker, even though he stepped, and that was Kamu Grugier-Hill, who number 51 today was really the X factor. We talked about coming into this game. Who's the players on Houston that will hurt this team?
I'll tell you what,
defensively for Houston, it was number 51.
Well, we found out today, but it's not like we've heard of these guys' names before.
Well, we know. Well, now we know their names, especially Hill, because number 51 today, you talk about the fourth and one to Adrian, where it was, again, Kamu Grugier-Hill, who's the one that stopped Adrian, plugged on that hole on the fourth and one. And the Titans, you know what? Listen, and this was a team on fourth and one that was 71%, the second best in the National Football League. They was not able to convert again. They converted in the fourth, but they were in their own territory, which means that's desperation time when you go for a fourth down on your 26-yard line.
Oh, it very much was, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a bad day. And of course, it started with the play of the quarterback. I thought offensively, I agree with you on the offensive line, they played great. But listen, defensively, I thought they played great.
Well, they're putting bad
situations. If they don't get a running game, I promise you, you don't win in this league without a great running game. You think of Aaron Rodgers. Look at those two-headed monsters they have up there in Green Bay. We saw the game last year when the Titans played Green Bay. And what did Green Bay do to Tennessee? They ran the football, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And they were effective. And that's what they're going to – until a quarterback best friend in this league is a strong and a solid running game. When you look at great quarterbacks, you look at great offenses, Davey, it doesn't start with the perimeter. Go back to the days of Joe Montana. Who did he have in the backfield? The great one, Roger Craig. Roger Craig was one of the greatest ones. I don't know why he's not in the Hall of Fame. You talk about Troy Aikman. When he was winning all those championships in Dallas, who did he have in the backfield?
Damn it.
You go back last year, you tell me something. Who did Tom Brady have in the backfield last year? And that was really the reason that Tampa won the Super Bowl. Who were the two animals that they had? And one of them just emerged as the alpha dog in that backfield last year. Who was the two players?
Fournette and Jones.
There you go. A strong running game. This is what's hurting this team. This has been the DNA of this team since Derek got to Nashville. It's about running the football. We saw this last year. You said it. This team gets stronger as the D train gets stronger. He gets stronger going down the stretch. We saw the game against against Baltimore in the playoffs. They were ineffective in doing what that game when they lost to Baltimore. What did they do? What was their Achilles heel that game in the playoff game against Baltimore? They couldn't run the football. They stopped Derek. But that first game in Nashville, they was able to run the ball. This is what's hurting this team, D. This is what's going to hurt this team going down the stretch until they find an alpha running back that's going to step up and step out and be that emerging back. And we don't know who that's going to be. Then we might end up having this conversation for the next, 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to find one. I think they're going to have to continue to do it by committee. Just, I mean, you look at it. I mean, Adrian, he wasn't on a team before the season for a reason. And you could say the same for Foreman, even though it's like, yeah, they might be nice complimentary pieces here or there. They're not at the point they can take the starting running back role and just make a lot out of it. I hope they do. I hope they do, but
me too. We both hope.
I'm not betting on it. We'll put it that way.
Of things you can't see.
It is.
There you go.
And
well, we can hope all we want to.
Yeah, but I mean, I know we're up against it, and it's been one of those shows. I mean, you can probably tell it in my voice. I'm not happy, and that's because it was an extremely frustrating game to watch, and the outcome was less than up to the standards of what Titans fans have seen. I know we had the longest winning streak in the NFL, winning 6 straight, and it just so happened to be the worst team in the league. You could argue that lost it for you. So
at this point, it's about rest. Nothing else. It's just about rest. This team, they need a rest. They need to go to Mexico, hang out on a beach and sleep all day because they need a break, Davey. They're tired. They're a beat up football team.
It shows. It shows. It really does.
It's showing.
And I hope that, I don't know, when it's all said and done, that maybe even if you do lose to New England, getting that extra rest and then coming back strong and doing something with those final 5, maybe we'll see. But we got plenty of time to talk about that. Denard, before we get out of here, sir, I will give you the last word.
I will tell our great listeners, you know, it was just like a few weeks ago when Derek got hurt, went down with that foot injury. I couldn't even go on Twitter because I you know, the tweets were just like, okay, the season's over with, we're done, we're this. And unfortunately, the Titans didn't get the memo. Now, this team is 8-3. They're still the top dog in the AFC, Debo. I'm not about to jump ship right now because I believe in this team. But until this team, they develop a running game, they're going to have to, in the running back by committee, it's not working. They're going to need somebody like a young Deontay Foreman, or we need to see Adrian revitalize in the next few weeks and get some of that. What do you call that? Some superpowers, whatever Tom Brady's taking. Adrian needs some of that, but you're going to need somebody that's going to stand out at that position, because a lack of production from one area can end up hurting that your unit. And right now it's the running game. And this is the time of year where great teams, you start to see them, where the running game gets going. You've seen Indy. Congratulate Jonathan Taylor. He basically I'm not going to congratulate him, but he surpassed Derek. So you imagine it's taken Jonathan Taylor 12 weeks to pass D, and D did it in 8 weeks, you know, 8 games. So that should tell you the kind of what this team is made up of. So they need to find someone, one of those back. Hey, D, it might be Dontrell Hilliard. It might be Dontrell. I don't know.
I doubt it. Once Jeremy McNichols gets back, I don't think you'll see Hilliard be active. But it's possible if the concussion becomes a prolonged issue for Jeremy McNichols. So I don't know. Yeah, like I'm not looking forward to seeing that injury report whenever it does come out. I'm just going to close my eyes. No, I'm not going to. I'll actually probably sit here, and it'll probably take the entire 30 minutes to read it to you all. But that's neither here nor there. I would like to say thank you, Denard. To our audience, thank you for always sticking with us. We really do appreciate you all tuning in each and every week and the feedback you all give us. And like I said, if there's anything you want us to do that we're not doing, please just let us know. But as I said, we really do appreciate your support. We'll be back later this week to preview the Tennessee Titans versus the New England Patriots, the red-hot New England Patriots. They might have found something with Mac Jones right now. They're playing at a high level. And so it is going to be a very tall task for the Tennessee Titans to have a bounce-back game, trying to put this very distasteful loss to the Houston Texans behind us. But D and I will continue to be here to talk you through it. And, hey, sometimes you need a little therapy to get you through after a bad loss. And, like I said, I'm glad we're able to be here and talk with y'all. But I hope you all have a great day. And that is going to wrap it up for us. But for Denard Walker, I am Davey Hudson. You have been listening to Believe in Titans, presented by BetOnline on the Believe Podcast Network. And as always, tighten up.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We are available on all your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. And you can follow along to keep up with all the latest Titans information on Twitter at Believe Titans. That's BLEAVTITANS. And hey, if you're interested in advertising on the show, please contact Believe at Believe.com.